welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, Rod Dyson's my name. I'm a member of the staff at Seeds Uniting Church. So let me begin today with a reading from the book of Genesis. So that's the first book of the Bible, and I'm reading from Genesis 12 and verses 1 to 4. This is what it says. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. So over the last 2 weeks, we've heard two remarkable stories of faith in the series, The Ripple Effect. Now, this series is not just about the ripple that other people have made, but it's asking us the question, what is our ripple effect? What effect are we having through how we live our lives? And today I'm going to conclude this series by talking about Jackie Pullinger. I chose Jackie because I heard her speak in Adelaide some years ago, and her story is quite inspiring. And subsequently, I read her book, Chasing the Dragon. Now, that's still in print, so you can read it, or I have a copy if you want to borrow it. The phrase chasing the dragon refers to heroin addiction and a particular way for people to get a fix. Now, anyway, Jackie was a very ordinary person, born in a non-Christian home. And life changed for her when she said yes to Jesus. Now, her Christian story began in London, where she was studying music. And she knew quite a lot of Christians, but their approach was really to back her into a corner and ask her questions like, "Are you saved, or are you covered in the blood of the Lamb?" And she had no idea what they were talking about and just wanted to escape. The other feature of this group of Christians was they had no joy. They were unhappy people, and nothing in their manner made Jesus attractive. But toward the end of her time at the Royal College of Music, she met some people who invited her to a coffee party, and they said at the coffee party, "We also study the Bible." And on reflection, she said that some of the talks were very similar to Alpha talks, not telling people what to believe, but helping them to explore faith and then trusting the Holy Spirit in that process. She listened to what was going on in those talks because, and this is an important point, the people actually looked joyful. Their joyful disposition made their message credible. Now, in addition, these people looked normal, and by that she meant that they looked like her. They had interests outside of church, like other people their age, and yet they wanted to know Jesus and they wanted to study the Bible. And in this context, Jackie felt totally comfortable talking about God. Now, she decided after meeting with this group that either Jesus was mad or mistaken, or what he said was actually true. And she decided on the latter, and her life changed. Now, you can see a couple of clear principles here right from the start. Firstly, if you're going to start a conversation with someone and if you want that to reach a point of faith at some stage, the important thing is to start from the person's perspective, not your perspective or your need to say certain things. We can trust in the Spirit's presence and guidance. Christian jargon is not helpful in a post-Christian society like Australia. Secondly, our message has to match who we're talking about. As Mahatma Gandhi famously said, "I love your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Now, Jackie's decision to give her life to Jesus had an immediate impact. And she tells the story that very soon afterward, she was on her suburban train and a man leant over to her and said, "Do you believe in God?" Interestingly, she answered no, but then she went on to say this, "I know him, and that's different from just believing. I know peace, and I know where I'm going." Now, Jack had continued in the Bible study and was always very thoughtful about the discussions. For example, she noticed that the other members of the group were really excited about going to heaven, but they had no concern for other people who did not know Jesus. And this struck her as, well, quite disturbing. Likewise, we're part of a large and vibrant church, and we can celebrate our relationship with Jesus, but we cannot be content with just that. We have a calling to the world as well. So Jackie began teaching music and really enjoyed it, but she wanted to give her whole life to something, and the idea of becoming a missionary asserted itself. Now, other people will have a lifelong calling to teaching or some other profession. We all have a calling. Now, Jackie took this leading to be a missionary seriously and began to write letters to missionary organisations, because it was usually through them that you became a missionary. So another principle I'd like to highlight today is that when you get a nudge from God, when you feel like the Spirit is speaking to you, even if it's not totally clear, explore it. We need to take some risks and believe that God will guide us in those risks. As Andy Stanley said, we write the stories of our lives one decision at a time. Now, Jackie wrote to a number of organisations in Africa because that was where missionaries usually went, and I can remember a time where most missionaries went there. One after the other, they wrote back and said, well, yes, if she taught English or maths, it would be fine, but actually, we don't need English teachers and we can't afford them. She kept exploring this sense of call and talked to wise people about it. They usually said, have you prayed about it? Well, of course she had, but God had not given her a clear answer. Her Bible told her to trust God and that God would then lead her. Then one night she had a dream. She and her family were sitting around a dining room table looking at a map of Africa. All the countries in Africa were different colours. And then right in the middle of the map was a bright pink one. And so she leant forward and looked closely and saw that the name on that country was Hong Kong. She did not even know that Hong Kong wasn't in Africa. But she immediately wrote to the Hong Kong government seeking a teaching post. They explained the process and she applied. Then, of course, they said there are no jobs for musicians. She then tried a missionary agency who sent missionaries to Hong Kong, and they said no one was accepted before 25, and she was well below that. And then a vision followed. A woman holding out her arms and asking for help, like you might see in a refugee poster. And then the woman asked a question, what can you give us? She pondered this. Was it music? Was it education? Was it food and clothing? And then it became clear. She felt like the Spirit was saying to her that this woman needed the love of Jesus. So now she knew what she had to offer. And in her case, it was not related so much to her skills or experience or qualifications. It was about her relationship with Jesus. Now, soon Jackie met up with a factory worker who she had known from some time before. And he asked, well, do you know where God is calling you? And she said, well, no, I don't. And he said, well, come to our group, because our group always gets answers. Now, Jackie thought this was pretty arrogant, but she went anyway. So the meeting was orderly, with prayers and songs and a few people praying in tongues. And then came a quiet voice. Go, trust, I will lead you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. And there was no doubt in her mind that God was speaking to her. She immediately quit all of her jobs and waited, and nothing happened. During the Easter holidays, she attended a church of a minister that she knew, and she felt safe explaining to him what was going on, that she and God had reached a stalemate. God had told her to go, she didn't know where. The minister replied, well, if God is telling you to go, you better go. Now, quite fairly, Jackie said, I don't know where to. All my applications have been rejected. The minister then said this, if you've tried all the conventional ways of going, and they haven't worked, but God is still telling you to go, well, you just better go. And he said, If you had a job, a ticket, accommodation, a medical fund and a pension, you wouldn't even need to trust in God. He said, if I were you, I'd buy a ticket for a ship that was going on the longest journey you can find, stopping at the most ports, and pray that you know where to get off. Now, this just sounded like an adventure to her. Anyway, as she pondered it, she remembered the story of Abram that we started with. Leave your country, leave your family, follow God. He didn't know where he was going, but he went. He trusted God. He was told he was going to be a blessing to the nations, and I'll remind you that he did this when he was 75. Now, we are all called. It's the specifics that change. Now, this minister she was talking to continued, you can't lose if you put yourself completely in God's hands. If God doesn't want you to get on a ship, God will stop you. So Jackie went home, she counted her money. She found the cheapest ship that was going on the longest journey via the most countries, and she purchased a ticket for that ship. It was going from France to Japan. Now, along the way, obviously it became clear and she got off the ship at Hong Kong, but there she was faced with an immigration official who was really annoyed and wanted to send her straight home. The conversation she had went like this. Where will you live? She said, I don't actually know. Where are your friends? I don't have any friends. Where will you work? I don't have a job. Where is your mother? In England. Where is your return ticket? I don't have one. How much money do you have? Hong Kong, 100. About £6. Enough for 3 days in Hong Kong. So he's going to send her home straight away, but some words came into Jackie's mind, some words she'd heard that day. Isaiah 49:16. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. And she thought, I can trust God here. And suddenly she remembered that she did know one person in Hong Kong, a policeman. Now, they were very high status and significant people at the time. So immediately the immigration official said, well, you can stay as long as you get a job straight away. And angrily he gave her back her passport. But if we trust God, there is a way. She felt called to the so-called city, walled city. It consisted of a lot of illegal buildings, one layer built upon the top of another. There was no electricity. There were more rats than people, and there were about 100,000 people. Illegal dentists, drug dealers in opium and heroin dens, girls sold into prostitution, theatres showing pornographic films, gambling dens, all of them illegal. And then there were the triads, the secret societies, just like the mafia, who made their money from crime and prostitution. They offered protection for a price and built their power by intimidating and bullying people. Now, there were open sewers running all the way through this walled city, and the people on the upper levels would just tip their sewage out, not caring who was below. Interestingly, when Jackie entered the walled city, she didn't feel fear like other people. She felt joy. And every day when she left, she felt exhilarated. It was like her call was being affirmed each and every day. Now, when she arrived, she didn't know the Chinese language. She only had time to do a really short evangelism course in English before she started work. But she made a really strong comment about not knowing Chinese. She said that if she had known Chinese, she would have said too much. She said, I thought that preaching the gospel was explaining how Jesus came to die for your sins. And then she says this, and of course that's not preaching the gospel at all. What did she mean? She said, just preaching those few words is not necessarily good news to anyone who doesn't know love, who doesn't understand your language, who doesn't follow your logic. And the people there were not listening to her anyway. They were watching to see how she acted, whether Jackie loved them or not. And if I really loved them, she said, then maybe God could love them too. Jackie remembers going up to a man in the walled city and saying, Jesus loves you. And immediately she understood as she said that, that it meant nothing unless she loved that man. In fact, the residents of the walled city watched Jackie for about 4 years before they believed she cared for them. Now, while many people looked down on the residents of the walled city and said, oh, they're just prostitutes, or they're into pornography, or they're drug dealers, or they're addicts, she had a revelation. She looked at prostitutes and she thought, if I grew up in the walled city, I would probably be a prostitute too. If I'd grown up in the walled city, I would probably be a drug addict too. She saw that the people in the walled city did not really have many choices about how they lived. And so her approach to them was not judgment, but love and mercy. Jackie put it this way, and this is helpful for all of us. We need people who will go and stay until the end. God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with most of us is we have hard hearts and soft feet. Now, there's so much to tell about her story, and I'm really running out of time, so let me finish with one more critical point. While words did not work in bringing people to Jesus, everything changed when Jackie was filled with the Holy Spirit. She received the gift of tongues and then began praying for people on her own in her devotion time in tongues, a spiritual language given to her by God. Then she found that when she later saw people, they listened to her, and some even wanted to know about Jesus. Now, this is what was actually happening. Jackie stopped asking God to do things that she thought were important and sought to work in harmony with God, with what God thought was important. The power of the Holy Spirit made all the difference. As the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." There's a direct link between the Holy Spirit and being a witness. Paul likewise says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God depends not on talk, but on power." People started becoming disciples. Some hardened drug addicts who were totally addicted came off of heroin without pain or withdrawal. There were various miracles. She opened up her house to people who were seeking a different life, and some stages she had 12 people in a home. Then she rented and bought more homes, up to 170 at one time. Later she opened the St. Stephen's Society. This houses 200 men who are coming off of drugs. And the program there includes 10 days of hard detox, Christian counseling, discipleship training, and help in getting a job. Over time, she became respected by the triads, and they even provided her with protection so she'd have a bodyguard. Amazingly, and this is actually quite extraordinary, they agreed to release any triad member who became a Christian. Now, that's a total opposition to their usual methods of control and intimidation. Now, Jackie has spent over 50 years serving in Hong Kong. It's very difficult work. Some days she said it's more like two steps forward and five backwards, but that's the nature of working with drug addicts. Now, one response we could have to Jackie's story and the other two stories we've heard in the previous two Sundays is, I could never do that. Well, let me make two concluding points. Firstly, we're not called to be like those that we've heard about, but we are called to something. We are simply called to say yes to what God wants us to do. And that is a decision each of us needs to make and to keep making each and every day. In Jackie's words, we're called just to say yes to what is in front of us. And she talks about the Good Samaritan story in the New Testament, who responded to what was in front of him. He saw someone beaten on the side of the road and he cared for him. He was the one in front of him. The second vital thing for us is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a gift from God, and we have to want it and then to live in harmony with it. So today I'm going to finish by praying for all of us. I'm going to pray that we receive the Holy Spirit afresh. And if you want, then I urge you to agree to my prayer and to receive the Spirit and then to go out and live in the power of the Spirit. Let me pray with you now. Jesus, we thank you for your love for us and for the world. Thank you for your deep love for the broken ones of our community. We pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us now. Give us all the gifts and graces we need to serve and honour you. Help us each day to keep in step with your Spirit, to say yes to your Spirit and to trust your Spirit to transform those we meet. God, right now, we choose to walk your way and to respond to the nudges of your Spirit and to trust in your provision along the way. Grow us into your likeness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.